Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
And on another beautiful Thursday afternoon in Los Angeles.
It's a beautifully clear day.
It is.
And you know, on a clear day. Oh, you know, I'm always working.
Well, you never, you didn't finish it. What? You didn't finish it.
On a clear day, you can see a homeless person urinating into a shoebox.
That's
anything?
Right.
Anything?
So true.
That's our neighborhood specifically, I should say.
Really?
The magic that is
Sherman
Oaks.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Actually, not.
What's off-putting to me is that image came so readily to my mind.
It did, didn't
that
it?
That really is
something
the most
you saw on the way
thing,
here?
I think. Unfortunately, yes. But I don't see my uncle very often,
oh,
so it was really a good opportunity.
Now, if anything deserves a ba-da-bang.
Yes.
It's
thank you. Thank our sponsors.
Exactly. We would like to thank our sponsors because they put up with this every week.
Yes, they do.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California, and we're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
Aren't we ever?
Yes.
Yes. And Paul, we've got another jam-packed show today.
Jam-packed.
Yeah, coming up on the phone, we'll be chatting with Ned Crowley, writer and director of the motion picture Middleman, starring our friend Jim O'Hare from the NBC hit series Parks and Recreation.
Which just ended this past week.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim may be calling in, actually. We spoke to him, too. He's got a lot on his dance card. He's on set today filming something else. He's always working, but he may be chiming in. But and I'm a little nervous because it means I got to handle two phone calls.
Yeah, well.
First time.
You can do it. You're a big boy. You got your big boy pants on
I
today,
do.
Don't you?
I do. Okay. Well, it's No Pants Thursday.
Oh, so. Again?
Following our conversation with Mr. Crowley, we'll be speaking with in-studio guest Adrian Russ, the composer and co-lyricist of the off-Broadway hit musical Inside Out, currently on stage enjoying its 20th anniversary production at the Grove Theater Center in Burbank, California.
Yes.
Let's throw a little applause
indeed.
On that.
Welcome, Adrian. And speaking of Inside Out, we've got one of the show's co-stars and a former top finalist in LA's Next Great Stage Star 2014, I might add. The fabulous Adrian Visnick is also in studio today.
She is. How are you, ladies?
Great.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome both Adrian and Adrian.
Adrian and Adrian, yeah.
Today.
Double A's.
Yes. And I'm going to forgo the obvious Rocky chant of Adrian because I can't imagine how many thousands of times you've both heard that.
I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh,
so
there you go.
You got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you ever stood on those steps and had somebody do it for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'll call you Cuff and Link.
Great.
Also
great,
from
great.
Rocky.
Awesome.
We'll do that.
Separate it, yeah.
But before we're going to get to the ladies here in just a minute, but before we do, Paul, how was your week?
My week was good. Week was good. Aside from very troublesome plumbing issues at the building.
I understand.
Plumbing issues at the building. You know, I have
to
be careful to say that.
Issues.
Yes. When you're past 50 and you say that, people make an assumption. But
no, it's hospital
somewhere. It's a good week. Good week. Got cast in something. Cannot talk about it yet, but very excited. Sort of jumping back into the pool of musical theater. But details TBA on that one. And how about you? How was your week, Michael?
You know, catching up, actually kind of coming up for air after working on a couple shows here in Los Angeles. Kathy Rigby, as we spoke to Miss Kathy Rigby last week, was starring in Seussical, the musical, for 3D Theatricals down in Orange County and doing a bang-up job of that. It's a beautiful production, and she is, of course, spectacular, as is the rest of the show. So that's nice. And then Inside Out, which I am working with the lovely Adrian Russ and Doug Haverty and Bruce Kimmel, the director who has brought such wisdom to this show, as well. So I'm so happy because it's all such good work.
You got a lot of plates spinning.
I do.
Yeah, you're very, very busy person.
I try to stay
you
that
are.
Way.
Me?
It keeps me
no,
out of trouble.
You're doing red carpet things. You're doing all that stuff. Me, I'm cleaning my grout.
Are you?
That's, yeah.
Wow.
You have different lives, Michael. Different
so.
Lives.
How sad that
isn't
is.
Isn't it?
Yes,
it's
it
sad.
Is.
You know, it's sad,
we'll
but
trade.
It's true.
We'll trade.
Yeah, let's, you can
yep.
come over and clean my grout.
Yeah, not so much, but I don't know.
All right. Well, let's introduce this gentleman we have patiently waiting on the phone. Not mating on the phone. That's a
that's
another,
a whole other show.
That's another show.
Yeah.
Middleman is a story of Lenny Freeman, played by Jim O'Hare, a straight-laced, old-school, working stiff accountant with a dream to become a famous stand-up comedian. The problem is, he's not very funny. Not even close. When his grandmother dies, leaving him nothing but debt and her 53 Oldsmobile, it compels Lenny to hit the road, chase his dream to Vegas, and audition for the Monty Guy Show's annual stand-up standoff. Along the way, and against his better judgment, Lenny picks up a mysterious hitchhiker, appropriately named Hitch, and his trip quickly spirals from bad to worse. Please welcome the writer and director of Middleman and the Kickstarter campaign for this dark but hilarious independent feature, Mr. Ned Crowley.
Hey, Ned.
Well,
Ned.
Thank you.
How are you,
well,
Ned?
I'm used to applause. That's awesome.
Well, Ned, I'm very excited about this because I know that you and Jim O'Hare go way back to the days of Stumpy's Gang, one of the most amazing experiences I had in a theater in Chicago, this wonderfully dark play that Ned is also responsible for. But we were talking about this a little bit, Ned, and this is not the people that are expecting Jerry from Parks and Rec are going to be sorely disappointed, eh?
No, it's in fact, Jim has kind of posted and tweeted about it. It's sort of the anti-Jerry in a way. I mean, there's still, this guy's still got a good heart to him, but it's interesting. You know, Jim is, you know, people who meet him on the street are always surprised because they think he's the character on the show, and Jim has so many other different sides of his personality, as you know,
right,
Paul.
Sure.
You know, I was really looking for something to really let him sort of stretch his acting chops on this. So that's really what we're going for here. He's still a likable guy, but he's put in a very difficult situation and things really quickly spiral for him. So it gets bloody fast, let's put it that way.
Well, Jim has got to really be embracing this too, because as you know, and I know, and I think the world will soon know, Jim has a tremendously dark sense of humor himself, just naturally. Yes? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it was funny, you know, because you know, I actually wrote this for Jim a while back and put it on the back burner because the timing wasn't right, and I was busy trying to raise kids and get a business going in Chicago, which, by the way, it's minus 5 degrees here, so thanks a lot for that little weather report.
Oh, anytime. Oh, no problem.
But, yeah. But, you know, and I was even when I was pitching Jim and his and the show was coming to an end, and I was like, well, you know, he's doing a certain thing now, and I'm not sure how dark he'd want to go. And, you know, he and I have been joined at the hip on this thing, and he's just hungry to really get out and really stretch and push. And that's kind of what I like. We shot a couple of teaser trailers already. They're up on our Kickstarter site, middleman.com. Go there. You can take a look at it. But they really, filmically, they show you what we're going to do. And just from an acting situation, I don't think people are going to recognize him. And
oh, no.
People who don't know Jim won't even know who that is.
I saw the clips online, Ned, but I want to clarify something because you mentioned it is middlemanmovie.com, correct?
You know what? You have just saved me. It is middlemanmovie.com.
Okay.
Yes, that'll go to our website, which also kicks back to the Kickstarter site.
Okay.
We're trying to put ourselves over the top to really make this the movie we want to make, with a lot of people coming out of the woodwork, just professionals I've worked with over the years who've been terrific and volunteering their time and everything. But, you know, we really want this thing to look like we spent $30 million with just a fraction of that. That's the real goal here.
When you've actually only spent 29, which is always.
I would love to. I think if we had $1 million, we still wouldn't spend it. Because, as you know, I've been working in advertising for 20, 30 years.
Right.
And it blows my mind the amount of money that is spent on production that sometimes has to be, but sometimes doesn't.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it really is astounding how good a movie you can make now and have, like you said, have it look like a $30 million project and be a fraction of that. The website, again, just and we will throw this out here a number of times before the end of the hour. It is middlemanmovie.com. Middlemanmovie.com. Say that 3 times fast. Middlemanmovie.com.
Say it all day long if you would, Paul. That would be awesome. Michael, join in.
That will go.
Middlemanmovie.com. Here I go.
I will also say, if anybody gets on that site and the next hour and gives us $100, I will personally make sure Jim O'Hare calls you by the end of the day.
Okay? Well, wow. Actually, could you get Jim to stop calling me if I give $200?
That's a different story. That's going to cost you a lot more money, Paul.
Yes, it's not even so much the phone calls. It's the little video, the off-putting video clips he sends me. But that's all another tale. Middlemanmovie.com. Ned, thank you so much. This is a really wonderful independent feature that's going, and like so many, doing the whole Kickstarter campaign to kick it off. The clips, if the movie looks 10% as good as these clips that they have, it's phenomenal. It's really dark and really creepy, and it's so up my alley, this thing, Michael.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, because this is not really your sort
of
cup of tea.
Stuff.
Well,
I like
to go up alleys. You guys, the script, you guys look for a part. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, all right. So what you're saying is that the parts can be bought, Ned. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. How do you think Jim got in there? Come on, seriously?
Oh, Ned, thank you so much. We're grateful to have you on the air. Middlemanmovie.com.
Middlemanmovie.com.
We're going to talk
great.
To these our next two guests, the two lovely ladies who are with us. But thank you so much, and best of luck with your Kickstarter campaign. Thanks, Ned.
Talk to you soon. I think he dropped us.
I guess,
like
no, I dropped him, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
I accidentally hung up on him. So I'll have to call him back later.
You see,
I can't even handle one phone call.
Wow.
I'm all a tither. I'm all frohuddled. Say it with me. Frohuddled.
Frohuddled.
All right. So we're talking to our next guest. Is this you or me, Michael? Who do you got?
That is actually would be me.
Would it?
Yes, it would.
Give the young lady her due.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, has written the lyrics for songs in various feature films, including White Lies with Darryl Brown and Sarita Wright, and the motion picture The Check Is in the Mail, a familiar phrase we've all heard, with Brian Dennehy and Ann Archer, who's been on our program.
A guest of our
before.
Show, yes.
Absolutely. She was also a staff writer at Landmark Entertainment, where she wrote both music and lyrics for several animated features and theme park presentations. Her work on the theater stage includes Life's a Stitch at LA's prestigious Alex Theater in the city of Glendale, and Love Struck, starring Barbara Bain, who's also been with us here,
yes,
at the Beverly Hills Playhouse. Along with writing partner Doug Haverty and director Bruce Kimmel, she's currently enjoying a resounding success with the 20th anniversary revival of Inside Out, a colorful musical about an all-girl group. In therapy, that is. Now on stage at the Grove Theater Center in beautiful downtown Burbank through March 22nd, please welcome one of the loveliest and most gracious women I know, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart, the ever tireless Adrienne Russ.
What a lovely thing to say. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you so much. You I was going to say how happy I am to be in an irreverent place, but that was not irreverent at all.
Well, no, nothing irreverent about you.
What a nice thing for you to say about her, because you should have heard her trash you before you got here. Oh, just nonstop. It was really rough.
See, Adrian, tone it down.
Before he gets here.
If there's one person I would not trash, Michael Sterling.
Thank you.
Adrian, so great to have you on the show. Very excited about this.
Thank you.
For the listeners, can you sort of give a little synopsis of the production and what people can expect without giving away too much?
Sure. We are about, there are six women, but it's about five women in group therapy with a group leader. And they're dealing with issues in their lives, some of them hysterically funny. We've seen audience members bend over laughing, and others very moving, and sort of a combination of the two. They are an all-girl group, the therapy is based on a personal experience I had, and so it was wonderful to be able to bring it to the stage and have all of this happen.
Do you find that, you know, having both sides of the emotional coin, with it being poignant or being funny, I'm assuming that one of the great things about it being a musical piece is having the music for the segue and the setting of tone, because right up against one another, that could be like a difficult thing to juggle, going from funny to poignant back and forth. Have you found that was that sort of in your mind in composing the lyrics, or does that happen during the process? I'm always curious about the process of creating something. Like, did you know like where songs would fall when you composed them, or were they created per character and then sort of seasoned throughout?
Well, the way Doug Haverty and I work is, he's a fabulous book writer. We talk through story first, mm-hmm. and then usually they're the emotional moments that dictate where a song is going to come. And as soon as somebody gets ready to speak and they're getting emotional, it just seems like the proper place for a song. And we worked very hard at weaving from scene into song to make it just flow as best as we could. And I have to tell you, Bruce Kimmel, who is directing this, who has directed it, has made sure that that happens. He is a multi-talented man, and he has made that flow continue. It's just been joyful to watch.
You know, that's I know this space, Michael. I'm sure you've been there, right? By behind George I.J. Park.
Yes.
I always tell people
it's been renovated, though, the space.
Has it?
Yeah, it looks pretty nice.
I haven't been there recently.
Yes.
But one of the nice things I heard, you mentioned when we were in the green room beforehand, Adrian, that it's just two musicians on stage at the same time.
Albie Potts is our music director, and Tyler Smith. They're both fabulous musicians.
So there has to be just a level of intimacy to this show that you don't normally get with a musical, not only dictated by the intimate nature of the GTC, the Grove Theater Center, but just the two musicians, six women who were on stage the whole time, you said?
Yes. Yeah. I have to tell you, in this world of huge musicals, Doug and I tend to like small musicals, those that are intimate, where you can sit really close mm-hmm. as you can to the stage and really feel what's happening on stage. And this theater is intimate in that way, and it allows that to happen. We feel that's why audiences are enjoying it so much. They feel that they're part of the group in some way.
And that level of intimacy is just something, like you said, that you don't normally get. That's why I'm working on my own, a one-man production of Dreamgirls. Because I just want to do exactly that.
This I have to say.
Oh, yeah, you and everybody else. Yeah.
We should play something from this, eh?
We should, absolutely.
What should we play, Michael?
You should play...
Here it is. This track is called Thin.
That's
This is from
it's
the
one
sound.
One of the big knockout numbers in the show.
It's performed by a character named Molly.
Okay.
Who has two small kids, and she was involved in a business at some point, but now she's at home with her children, and she's been kind of eating a lot.
And in this production, that character is portrayed by
the extraordinary Donna Miller.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing is not Miss Miller's.
This is from the New York production.
Yes.
Okay. This is from the New York production of Inside Out, and this is a song called Thin.
Gosh, I loved being pregnant. Food was never taboo. You could eat like a horse and just smile and say, hey, I'm eating for two. After the baby, you're full of excuses. You try like the devil to fight 'em. There's no time for exercise. I'm healing, you realize. My body must stabilize, and on ad infinitum. But the baby is almost one, and this barrel is no longer fun. Every day I get depressed, 'cause beneath this liquid armor, there's a Twiggy who's suppressed. Thin, I wanna be thin, I wanna be in the movies, kind of indisputably thin, like I've never been. I've got too much skin to make this maxi mini. I want to wear skinny clothes made of silk and satin. Win. If I could just not give in, I could be really thin. My dresses are tight, my blue jeans are a riot.
That's hysterical.
And it's a great hook.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that song. And,
yeah.
And seeing it in person, it's even, you have to see the visual to see what's going on.
And so. there's humor. You know, I say hysterical, but I don't want to be dismissive of it. There's humor in there, but there's also, I mean, with it being something that so many women struggle with, it's just like, I'm sitting here listening to it and thinking, I've never heard this problem presented in song before. I'm sure it's out there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's interesting, too, that, well, first of all, that was Kathleen Mahoney Bennett who's singing it on the CD. It's interesting that no matter how much a woman weighs, she wants to be thinner.
Of course.
So yeah. It doesn't matter.
Never,
you know,
too
who plays
rich,
this
never
role.
Too thin, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Twiggy could play this role and sing the song.
Yeah.
Adrian, let me ask you something. By comparison to the very first time this production was put up in a workshop form in Los Angeles many years ago, what, 25 years ago, right?
That's right.
And it literally, Paul, the history has it, it was put up on a workshop situation at the Yelani Chapman Theater, but they liked it so much there, the theater liked it so much, they said, let's just open it.
And so it was originally just a workshop, and then it just became a full-out production.
Exactly.
It was supposed to run for 5 weeks, and it ran for 5 months.
Right, which is awesome. Yeah. And then it had its trek to...
Especially out here.
Oh, yeah.
That should be said. You know, trying to get, you know, people to live theater in L.A. is one of God's great mysteries.
Well, it might have been a little easier 25 years ago than it is now.
Right.
But
yeah,
then
true.
It had its trek to New York, and it played the Cherry Lane Theater.
Well, actually, it went through the Colony Theater.
Well, the Colony first, that's right.
It was actually for their patrons. Sort of a back door thing. Wonderful cast there, too. And truly, thanks to Barbara Beckley, she had some contacts in New York. They called her and said, we're looking for a musical. We have a lot of women in the cast, and she recommended us. And boom.
There you were.
There we
opening
were.
Opening at the Cherry Lane.
Amazing, yes. Wow. Incredible. Incredible
Fantastic.
Ride. Yeah.
So with those three situations... And now today, 20th anniversary of the Broadway production, or the off-Broadway production, excuse me. Has it grown? Has it changed? It's all still quite relative, even though it's set in the 80s. But you've got, I really take my hat off to Bruce Kimmel.
Yes.
As a director. He's so inventive, and he's so... gets it. You know, he always gets it, and he takes something to another level, which I saw him do Little Abner last summer, and I'd never seen the show before, and I frankly had never really wanted to see the show before. It didn't interest me. The movie I didn't care for.
Talk about a show that has the potential to be dated.
Well,
you know,
absolutely, yeah. And that's just what Bruce did. He turned it around and made it feel like it was so not in any particular place or time, but you were certainly in the moment with it all the way.
Right.
As you know, when he does the Kritzerland shows, he knows so much about musical theater in general.
Right. He is.
So he brings all that knowledge to his direction.
The knowledge and passion, too. He's
passion,
so passionate
absolutely.
About it.
He is.
You know?
He's very methodical, and you see him working all the time in his eyes, you know, but it's absolutely what he wants and always gets, I'm sure. So
I have
yes,
to do,
he does.
I have to do a shout-out thank you to Bruce Kimmel.
You do?
Yes. And you know what it is? It's for a donut.
For a
it's
donut?
For a donut. Bruce Kimmel, last time he was on the air, he told me about a donut shop right at the corner of
Kay's.
Beverly. Is that it?
That's the one he always talks about.
Beverly, Beverly Glen and Ventura.
Right.
Because my wife and I go to a foot inspiration, this massage place there.
Which
of course,
I
it's size 15. Yes, exactly. But it's size 15. They do charge me extra, but that's not the point. But he told me about the chocolate peanut butter donut at that. And it's just like... you need an insulin dipping sauce with it, but aside from that, it's phenomenal.
Really?
It's so good. So, Bruce, when you listen to this, thank you for alerting me to that.
Wow. I go to that donut shop, but I didn't know that Bruce did.
Yeah, just a little tucked in the corner.
Yeah,
we're all going after the show.
Yes, great. We are. We should have it delivered. We're talking about Inside Out. Michael, would you throw the information out here for people to so they know how to buy tickets?
Absolutely.
For this production?
Absolutely. It's at the Grove Theater Center, which is at 1111-B West Olive Avenue in Burbank, California, 91506. And it's great because they have parking, easy parking.
Right.
Easy parking. There's street parking on Olive, but if you turn, go up one street and what is that
Clark,
street?
Clark.
To Clark Street.
And it runs parallel with Olive.
Yes, and you make a left on Clark, and you then make another left into the parking lot, right?
And turn a corner, there'll be a dwarf. He'll hand you a manila envelope. Nod twice and say the pizza's blue in December. He'll give you a cookie. What you talking about?
No. Well, you know what? I was so delighted that I didn't know there was parking there. but like that.
No,
I didn't know it was that close. So I was so happy to discover that. Because it's a big park.
But that being said, yes, if you go over there, if you're on Olive, look for the airplane. And there's literally an airplane in front. Yeah, past that. But do in this particular case, leave yourself a little time. Because some people, it's just a little bit of a walk. But always.
Especially if you have to park on Olive Avenue itself.
Yes.
So reservations, ladies and gentlemen, 323-960-1055. Tickets online as well at plays411.com/inside out. And you know, general admission prices, you can't beat this. $25.
Yeah.
That's and students and seniors, $15.
That's parking in New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. So get away. I always say this, put that remote down, get away from the television, and go out and support and see and enjoy live theater. Yeah. And this is one that you will truly enjoy. It's
so much fun. Promise you a good time.
So much fun.
It's a great cast, one of whom is here.
Yes. And we'll be talking with her soon.
And it looks lean and mean, too. 120 minutes, one intermission, perfect running time for a musical.
Well, Bruce Kimmel told me an interesting thing. He said he will not do a show that is any longer than 2 hours, including the intermission.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's $1.20 with the intermission.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I sound like my Bronx is showing. $1.20. It's $1.20. What are you going to do? What a deal.
I think that's because he cares about audience.
You know, it's funny. That's such a good point. So many people who are directors don't think in terms of the audience. It sounds obvious, but so many people don't think in terms of what is that person who comes in and puts their butt down going to experience from start to finish. I tell you, when I see two intermissions and like a meal break, I'm just ready to just, you know, open a vein.
And
I just, I don't sit still well anyway, as you know.
No, so, not you.
Not me. But once again, we'll throw it out there a number of times. plays411.com/inside out, or for tickets, it's 323-960-1055. Very good.
We have a few minutes left with Adrian,
and
I want to ask you, Adrian, about your early career during the intro, Landmark Entertainment, those years, and how did you become involved in music, first of all? I mean, I know that you graduated from the University of Illinois.
Yes, Illinois. I actually was an English major. I have a master's degree in English, but I minored in music theory. I took all the courses the music students hated, you know, the theory. I just loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. And then I would perform myself. I was a singer with a band for a while.
Wow.
On tour in Chicago a little bit, and then up in Canada with this band.
Oh, wow.
But I've always been in love with music and writing songs. I wrote the high school song in my high school in Chicago.
So did I.
Did you?
I wrote my high school alma mater,
there
too.
You
go. Richfield, Connecticut. And you went in Chicago where?
I went to Roosevelt and South Shore High Schools.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My
right
wife's
the
from
city.
There. Yeah.
So
Foster and Western. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Love Chicago.
Yeah, I do too.
Not today.
Not today.
Five.
Not
That's
today.
Where Ned was calling from.
Mine
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Not today.
Yeah.
But there's that. And also, since you, do you mind my mentioning, since you
Please.
Broke up a group repertory theater,
yeah.
Doug Haverty and I have a new
yes.
musical coming up. This is such a musical year for me. I'm just beyond delighted. We have a new musical opening there in May 15th, actually, called Love Again.
Love Again?
So,
that's
mm-hmm.
right.
Okay. Yeah.
And people
yeah.
can learn about that. The Lonnie Chapman, is it on their website, or is there a website you can tell people about?
Well, it's at the Lonnie Chapman Theater, and of course that is on Burbank Boulevard in the city of North Hollywood, actually, at that point. And then go to thegrouprep.com and find out about tickets for that.
Okay.
And directed by, might add, Kay Cole. You know, who was in the original company of A Chorus Line.
She was the original Maggie.
She's really?
Yeah. Yes, and she's a fabulous director as well.
She is.
And so nice company that you keep, Miss Adrienne Russ.
Indeed. And just one other wonderful thing that's happening this year, I wrote a song with Shelley Markham called Late in Life that Shelley put on his album. And Sue Rainey, the extraordinary, legendary singer, heard it. And she decided she wanted to record it. And so we changed some lyrics for her, and it's on her. And she's calling her album Late in Life.
Wow.
Isn't that
cool? Oh, that's wonderful.
So I'm just having a great year. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
That is
You deserve
wonderful.
It. Wow. You know who Sue Rainey is, right?
No, I don't.
She's very beautiful. See, still.
And still sings great, too.
Yeah, absolutely. She's kind of one of those women from the past, you know, like from that movie star. She likes a movie star. I've always thought she looked like a movie star.
She was conducted by Nelson Riddle when she was like 17 or 18 years
Holy
old.
Holy cow.
Incredible.
She's just very classy, elegant, you know, always knows the right way to dress.
Like
she's...
me. Okay. Subtle, Michael, but I get your point. Yeah.
Subtle, elegant. That's okay.
Absolutely.
What is her name again? Because I want to look her up.
Sue Rainey.
Sue Rainey. Mm-hmm. I don't mean look her up. I mean on the inter. What the kids are calling the interweb.
Okay.
The World Wide Net.
Yes,
as they say. All right. Shall we continue?
We should.
While earning a BFA acting degree from the University of Southern California, our next guest performed in numerous USC films, plays, and musicals. She was awarded USC's Jack Nicholson Award for Outstanding Actress in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
For her performance as Cleo in The Most Happy Fella, directed by TV and Broadway's John Rubenstein. Oh, from Pippin. Mm-hmm. She was also invited to perform in a masterclass taught by Broadway's Jason Robart Brown and
Jason
Robert. Jason, oh, I thought I was. I saw Robart.
But it's R-O-B-E-R-T.
No, you're right.
Yes.
No, I'm not saying I'm correct. I'm just saying how I made the error.
Oh, okay.
Let's discuss this further. And Jason Robert Brown, and selected by audition to sing a duet with Broadway superstar Kristen Chenoweth. Did I get that right?
You did.
For a private event in Los Angeles. Yeah. Following her participation as a top finalist in LA's Next Great Stage Star 2014, she made her solo headlining concert debut concert at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. I've heard that place mentioned before. Last November. Currently, as the character Sage, she's burning up the boards in the 20th anniversary revival production of Adrian Russ and Doug Haverty's off-Broadway hit musical Inside Out at the Grove Theater Center in beautiful downtown Burbank. Please welcome Adrian Visnick.
Yeah.
Adrian, I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. But
oh,
nice to have you.
Good. I'm glad I was here.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
Adrian is such a beautiful young woman and a very talented one. Obviously, we know this. But something I ask her, actually, on opening night, and I think we talked about it yesterday, too. You know, she's the youngest member of this beautiful cast of women who aren't much older than she is. Well, but... how does it feel to be working with these women who have very established credits in the theater?
I'm very lucky. Oh, yeah. The whole cast
Sandy Bainham,
Leslie Stevens, Donna Miller, Stephanie Fredericks. I'm lucky,
yeah.
Really. And it's awesome being able to share the stage with six very confident, strong, talented, hardworking women who have already had really great careers that just kind of are so welcoming to me and telling me about their careers and their experiences. So
have they kind of taken you under their wing?
I have five other moms now.
Oh.
It's great. And another mom sitting right here next to me.
And a real mom who's like
and
the
a real mom.
Knees,
yeah.
The
yeah.
bee's knees.
Yeah.
She's so great.
And
I'm sure
she won't be at the show at all.
Oh,
she won't be
my
there.
Real
yeah.
mom?
Yeah, yeah,
oh, yeah,
yeah.
She shows up too.
Yeah.
I have a lot of moms. It's great.
And,
what is it? Oh,
sorry. No, her father is also very charming, very kind of sophisticated, elegant, quiet elegance about him.
I have a good
Such
family.
Such a nice family, yeah.
Anyway, what is your, if you can, without, and we don't want to give too much away because we want people to obviously buy tickets and come see the show, but can you sort of share your character's journey or tale or what of the six?
I play Sage, and she's the youngest one of the group, and she's obsessed. She's a hippie. In the 1980s. So she's kind of lost in what she wants to do with her life. And she's obsessed with tarot cards and rocks and numerology and trying to figure out what her path is. And usually her tarot cards get in the way of her love decisions. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you're Sage.
Yes, I'm Sage.
And the other women are parsley, rosemary, and thyme.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, exactly.
Make sure.
Yep, they're all herbs.
Well,
right. Yeah.
Oh, one of the good Adrian, one of the characters is of course a former pop star that had one big hit and then their career slid and nothing really happened for her.
It's played
her.
Beautifully by Leslie Stevens.
Leslie Stevens plays that role, and then there's Stephanie Fredericks, who is Why don't you tell us about that?
Stephanie plays Chloe, who is a single mom. She's actually a gay woman with a teenage son, so she has things to deal with at home.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia Ferrer is the group leader, And I, after the show closes, I want her to be my new therapist.
She does
she's
such a good
so
job.
Cool. So cool.
And she sings yeah. like a dream. They all do. They're just incredible. And Donna Miller, whom we mentioned, she plays Molly, the mother of two kids. And Sandy Bainham plays Liz, a businesswoman, just fabulously gorgeous voice.
And a beautiful woman. And, you know, we've had Sandy on the show.
Yes, before. Yes. Yeah. She did a show at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, didn't
she's
Sandy
She's done
Bainham?
A couple.
And she's
getting ready to
one.
Do one more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. March 22nd.
Mm-hmm. But,
so Sage is the youngest character and kind of, you know, a little bit more offbeat perhaps
yeah,
than everybody.
Yeah, she's a little offbeat. Yeah. And she's quiet for a lot of the show, but she has her little snippets of great knowledge.
And big knockout number.
Those are some of the best things. I call them
so
over the newspaper lines, we call them, mm-hmm. where you just sort of like look over the newspaper and drop a zinger in there.
Yeah.
You say she's a hippie. Mm-hmm. And we've had hippies, of course, for years and years and years. Were there a lot of pop culture references at the time that had to be changed for your character from the original script, or do you?
No, nothing actually was changed from the script at all. I don't think, right?
No.
Oh, really?
No.
The only change was is that I'm now a younger person in the cast. I think originally everyone was the same age, but I think that's the only change that was. Unless I'm wrong, I think that
no, it's good because we've kept it in the 1980s. So I think we're
all okay.
Just
so
keep
it's still
everything's remained
it's
the same.
It's just set at that time
because her main issue is that she doesn't say what she's really thinking, and she has a song that kind of that song has been tending to get the most applause that evening.
Okay.
It's so, called I Don't Say Anything.
It has
nothing
to do with the song and everything to do with her.
Well, you know, funny you should say that because we don't have that song, but we do have Adrian singing.
Well, and yes, and let me set that up. She, as you said earlier, played Sterling's in November of last year. Mm-hmm. And
this Sterling's, what is that again?
It's in Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood.
Yes.
Critically acclaimed. What can I tell you? No, but Adrian is such an old soul. She really is. And she has such an understanding of music and such an understanding of herself. And the material that she brought into this, being someone, usually cabarets are done by older people that are drawing on a large life experience. And Adrian drew on something else. It is what she gravitated to and what she knows and what she can explain through music, actually.
That's really
and
nice.
Such
Thank you.
Sophisticated material because she is a sophisticated young woman. Yet she is all young woman, and she is just, you know, does anything like any other young person of your age. But what you're going to hear is something that is from back in time, from On the Town, and it is a pretty spectacular rendition of this song called I Can Cook Too.
All right, let's give it a listen. This is Adrian Visnick with I Can Cook Too from On the Town.
The best in the town. Yes, I can cook too. My fish can't be beat. My sugar's the sweetest around. Yes, I'm a man's ideal of perfect meal right down to the diamond tarts. I'm a pot of joy for a hungry boy. Baby, I'm cooking with gas. Yes, I'm a gumdrop, a sweet lollipop, a brook trout right out of the brook. Make magazine covers. Some girls keep house on a dime. Some girls make wonderful lovers. Oh, what a lucky find I'm. I make a magazine cover. I do keep house on a dime sometimes. I make a wonderful lover. I should be paid overtime because I can bake too. On top of the lot, my oven's the hottest you'll find. Yes, I can roll. Too. My chickens just ooze. My gravy will lose your mind. I'm a brand new note on a table. Don't just drive me a la carte. With a single course, you could choke a horse. Baby, you won't know where to start. Yes, I'm an hors d'oeuvre, a cherry preserve. Not in the recipe book. And what's more, baby, I can cook.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Shops there.
Pipes.
Thank you.
Pipes.
One of my favorite songs.
Wow. Recorded live at Sterling's upstairs.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is.
And who's accompanying you there?
James Lent.
Yes.
Wow.
Who is our musical director for LA's Next Great
Yes. Stages. Wonderful. Yeah.
And it was a grand night of singing.
Yeah.
Really,
it was an hour
you.
Long, and I'd never done anything like that before.
Yeah, but you never could have told
songs.
That.
No.
Shh.
Yeah, no.
Never just, you know, I don't like to use this term because it's a sexist term, actually, but I'm going to use it anyway, because you have an incredibly ballsy voice. You have
you
have a very, very rich, but no, you're a slight little thing, and you're petite, but it's very, very, it's very rich and Midler-esque, well, you know, just really.
That's what I'm saying. She understands it. You know, that song actually was originated by Nancy Walker, the great comedian who used
Nancy
to be
Walker.
On Rhoda, the series, playing Rhoda's mother.
And the Bounty commercials, for those of us
That's
who are
right.
old enough to remember
and
the Bounty
And Nancy
commercial.
Had that big 11 o'clock number in the show and and killed it always. And it's so nice to hear it done by
Wow.
Nancy was very different kind of singer, kind of a guttural singer, not a trained classic singer. But her husband, David Craig, taught every single major star on Broadway, and other people such as myself. I studied with him too.
Really?
Yeah. He was a performance coach that taught actors who sing how to perform in a musical. And in my class, it was Rock Hudson, there was Eve Marie Saint, there was Carol Burnett.
Amazing.
There were all of these people that you thought, what the heck are they doing here?
Yeah.
That's so
and,
cool.
I did the same thing, but my group of people was far different.
And who did that
me,
include?
Me, Steve Buscemi.
Steve a neighbor?
Just the first person I thought of. Yeah, let me give that. Yeah, that was probably pretty
sad.
Very
sad.
Warrant a rib shot. Once again, why Steve Buscemi? Adrian, you have a website you should tell us.
I do. It's adrianvisnick.com. It's A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E.
Adrian, okay. So tell us your backstory, too. We ask Adrian this. How did you become involved in music? When did you know that you were musical, first of all?
Well, my parents aren't musical at all, which is really fun. They're so supportive of everything that I do. My mom's artistic visually. My dad's an engineer. So I started doing it when I started doing musical theater when I was 7 years old, and just knew that that was the way that I knew how to speak. I knew how to speak with music, so just kept doing it and training. And I grew up in Philadelphia, and the suburb that I was in was only an hour away from New York City. So I went in two or three times a week and studied with great teachers all through high school and auditioned, and then decided I wanted to come out to Los Angeles and get a taste of both sides.
Mm-hmm.
So I got lucky.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have a very supportive family, so I think that comes down.
Do you have plans of heading back to New York?
You know, I think
at
in the future.
Point?
I'm very happy out here right now,
right.
Doing everything that I'm doing with auditioning and taking classes and the teachers that I have out here. And I think in the future I would feel very comfortable in New York City. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely have
yeah.
to go there.
I would love to do Broadway and... It's cool.
And you know,
you should.
Before
you should.
we were on the air, we were talking before Michael got here. You were talking about doing the Sterling's upstairs
at the Federal,
the LA's Next Great Stage Star. And what a horrible, you know, busman's tour of hell experience that was for you. Did you want to tell Michael directly, or did
we
again?
No.
No, you're saying how wonderful it was, and it was last year for you, and you were a top finalist.
For 2014, and it was just a really great experience because you just don't get another opportunity to have an audition process that combines with a workshop, combines with a networking experience, and the people that I've met from the competition is just it's wonderful it's
and
really
so
cool.
encouraging too
really?
And that's the
yeah.
thing, because you know there's so many of these competition shows out there, you know, on TV, and it becomes, you know, and then a lot of times it's just because it sells soap flakes, but they can be mean-spirited, but it never seems like that. I'm not saying that you're coddled or anything.
No,
like
they're
that.
Very direct with what you need to do and further yourself, but it's never done in a mean way, which is I think it's very encouraging.
Especially for young performers, because you know what, unfortunately we're all you're all going to encounter that. Everyone does. It's part of the business. You're always going to encounter negativity, and you're going to get some rejection and all that.
Right.
So at this stage, especially to have such, it's really a good thing you do, Michael. I joke about it all the time, but I really think it is. It's a creative public service.
And well, thank you.
Wonderful
thank
thing you.
You
do.
It is. Very classy
yeah.
shows.
And very classy.
It is.
Good
it
food.
Is. We're talking. Yeah, the fish and chips. Yep. The fish and chips. I got to tell you, if I had a commission for everyone I've sent in there to eat fish and chips, we're talking to two. two Adrians here today about Inside Out, a colorful musical about an all-girl group, therapy group, that is. This is going on at the Grove Theater Center. It's 1111B West Olive Avenue in Burbank, California. It opened just this past weekend, February 12th, and playing through March 22nd, so not an especially long run. Get out there to see it. Friday to Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2, 323-960-1055 or plays411.com/inside out. Sounds really great.
It is. I think your wife would love it.
What?
I think your wife would love it.
Is that a passive way to say my wife needs therapy?
No. I think from a female perspective, I think she and some of her other gal friends should get a little organized little group and go see it.
There's several other groups that are doing that. Mm-hmm. Women's groups are coming.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
give you the night off.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would like to see
Well, I have
like
to
tell
men love the show, too. Because we do not put men down. I just want you to know that.
You know, it's funny, though. It's funny that you mention that, because so much of the time, and this happened with an old boss of mine, a mutual friend of ours. I used to do warm-up for the Jenny Jones show. Jenny Jones had a talk show a number of years back. And she used to do a show called Girls Night Out. And the whole thing was is that only women were invited, just with the mindset being that, the collective consciousness of a room changes with one man in it. If it's a room full. But it's nice to hear what you said, because a lot of people will immediately assume, oh, it's all women on stage. It's going to be a male-bashing thing in some way, shape, or form.
Not at all. Even our group leader, in one of the songs, she defends the husband of a woman who's complaining about him.
Really?
No. So we're proud of that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Monica would probably like it.
Well, I can set you up.
Can you?
Yes, I can.
Oh, for the show. Okay.
I'm not doing that.
It's that time, Michael.
Yes, it is. Are you prepared, ladies?
Yes. I told you about this beforehand.
Awkward
this
is, stories.
Does that fly?
Stories.
Does that 50 minutes fly, though?
It does.
Yeah, it does.
Good company. So much fun.
Adrian, we're going to baptize you first. You're going to tell us about your most embarrassing or one of them.
Well, actually, Adrian and I were talking about this earlier. What happened at one of our performances of Inside Out?
Yeah, this past weekend.
Is this a shared embarrassing moment?
Kind of.
Yeah.
She was in the audience, and I was
in the audience. Praying. Sitting next to Doug, we were both praying.
Yeah.
And I didn't see Bruce. He was in the back probably praying too. But what happened was we have one track in the musical that's used that's an actual track. Mm-hmm. Because it's a rap song performed by Dina, the singer, where she's role-playing somebody. And she's getting ready to do it. And the track never came on. There was this big silence.
Oh.
And this is our first preview. It's a huge silence. And then all of a sudden, our stage manager, Victoria, by the way, Victoria Chediak, am I pronouncing your name right?
I think so, yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
She's really great, too. Mm-hmm. She pushed a button and it was off her computer, and something came on.
It starts playing another rap song.
from her iTunes file or something.
Yeah.
So that has nothing to do with the show. And so she stopped that. And Albie is sitting backstage, and he said, I gave her three tries. And then he and Tyler jumped in live and played the track.
They had never played it before.
Wow.
Yeah.
They hadn't played it before, and they jumped in and played the track.
Wow.
Yeah. Had the music?
They had the music.
Oh, okay.
They had the music.
Yeah.
But had never done
it. They had never run it with Leslie before. They had never done it at all.
Never.
And that bit is with reference to the son of one of the other characters, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Travis.
Mm-hmm. Travis.
Travis, the son of Chloe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow, that's...
I love
sweat
that.
And bullets.
That's just sort of the flop sweat thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just what you'd like. You know what? When you're out on the ice, man, what are you going to do?
As writers, our hearts stopped, and I'm sure Leslie's heart stopped.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, it's Albie and Tyler saved the day, so we love them even more now.
They're pros. They're pros.
They are pros, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And Adrian, you must have had one during all of your adventures at USC.
I'm dumbfounded. I probably have, but I usually put them in like a file finder that's like really far back
you
in my hair somewhere.
Out.
I know
you blocked them out.
I probably blocked it out at some point. That was up there though, because for Inside, it was the first preview and it was my first show outside of USC, so it was just so uncomfortable being on stage and not. if there was another rap song playing, was Leslie going to rap to that song? Or, I don't know. There was a bunch of different things going through my head of like how I was supposed to save it, but then I didn't know.
You're sitting offside, just going, I'm going to.
Yeah, exactly. I was ready to beatbox, like plot any trick of the trade. I didn't know anything. Yeah.
The story that I told last week, Michael, I had never told you that before about my magic trick.
No, you had not.
I never told you
no,
that.
No, you had
well,
not.
That was you guys had listened to hear humiliation on a level like you can't imagine. Listen to last week's show. Go to stateoftheartsla.com.
Since he did tell this story, I'm going to tell one of my own.
Okay.
But I have told this before. But Paul enjoys this.
Oh yes, don't
yes. Yes, yes. Bye, bye, Birdie.
But I'd only say it because I want to play at the end of the thing. I want to play us off the air with the rest.
Okay,
of the
cool. Bye, bye, Birdie. Theater in the Round, Santa Monica Civic Auditorium. During the time when Theater in the Round was all the rage, and they converted to Theater in the Round, 3,000 seats, and I was there with Dick Van Dyke doing Bye, Bye, Birdie, and I was one of the chorus kids, and we the opening of the show is in New York, you know, and we're all dressed in our New York clothes, and the transition going to Sweet Apple, Ohio. Is done by underdressing. You know, that was the whole magic of that in the round, and strobe lights. So when that number is in progress, the dressers are running up the aisles to help us out of the outer layer of the New York clothes and to the reveal being our Sweet Apple, Ohio clothes and handing us American flags, and we're waving them to because the train is pulling into Sweet Apple, Ohio with Conrad Birdie on it. So lights came up, strobe stopped, everybody's in different clothes, and I'm waving, you know, like a son of a gun, and I'm in this bright red sweater and in a little, you know, white collared shirt and very involved in singing, and I feel cold, though. I felt drafty and down below, and I looked down below, and I was standing there in my dance belt.
Yes.
Because I had forgotten to put my pants on in the underdress before I had gone into.
Gosh.
Sweet apples!
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's memorable.
Somebody
that
got their money's worth
is
on
available.
That side of the theater.
And that video is available on YouTube.
Well, I wish I had those sweet
thanks
apples
to Paul.
Now.
Yes, exactly. Ladies, thank you so much. What a pleasure having you both on. Just
the
hour just flew as it just unbelievable that we just flew through that. We're going to talk about this more. The show again, Inside Out. For tickets, plays411.com/insideout. And also thanks to the gentleman who opened our show, Ned Crowley.
Yes, Ned. Thank you, sir.
Jim O'Hare starring in middlemanmovie.com. Oh, it's Middleman is the movie, but the website, middlemanmovie.com. And please go there and support them in their fundraising efforts with Kickstarter. And let's play a little more of this to play it off the air, shall we, Michael?
Yes, this is on stage through March 22nd, folks, at the Grove Theater.
And this is a song from that very show, Inside Out. We're going to play a little more of it as we go off the air. The song is called Thin.
Every night, tomorrow I start my diet, but next day I deny it. Thin. I wanna be thin. Where do I begin to ward off the whipped cream pies? Make me less of a glutton. Make my Levi's button. How do I be a Mia Farrow? Narrow and neat as a pin. I wanna be free.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.